The reading today is Isaiah 58, verse 1 to 9a. I'm afraid I don't have the page number in my notes on the screen. Okay, good. Okay. Shout it aloud and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarrelling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today, and expect your voice to be heard in heaven. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed, and lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will shine, break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And then you will call, and the Lord will answer. The second reading is Luke 4, verse 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Thank God for his word. Amen.
And now Peter is going to come with those inspired words for us. Peter, let us just pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Peter, for his ministry amongst us. We thank you for the words, the thoughts that you have given him to give to us. And we hope and pray that we will have the ears to hear and the hearts to respond to your word this morning. Amen.
Jackie found a super transformation type picture. I found a rather less one. But I think that's a transformation. I think that is a real transformation. And we're at the end of this vision series and starting new things next week. But how are you doing? At the beginning of January, we were encouraged to look up and encounter Jesus. Then following on that, we were asked to consider looking onward and passing on the baton. As it has been said, the Christian church is only ever one generation away from extinction. We have to pass it on to the next generation. Hi, Guy. we were then last week encouraged to look inward as well and grow as disciples. Today we're encouraged to look out and see lives transformed. I suppose it's honesty time. If you've been here for the series, has your life been transformed? That's a big word. And no, if I'm honest, my life has not been transformed. Perhaps it's been nudged a little bit. Perhaps I'm just a little bit better at reflecting on the Bible as I read it. Perhaps I'm just a little bit better in my prayers. I hope God will accept those nudges in the right direction. So if you feel, gosh, I haven't been transformed, no need to feel guilty, neither have I. But I hope I've been nudged. And I hope and pray that all of us are nudged day by day to get a little bit closer to Jesus, because we've got a world that needs that. A long time ago, the Times ran a series of letters in its correspondence column to find out what was wrong with the world, and perhaps the most pertinent letter that they received and published simply said, "Dear Sir, I am G.K. Chesterton." That's what's wrong with the world. Me. And we want it to improve. We've got to start by saying, can we improve ourselves? But here's some good news. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then you have been transformed. As life goes on, we are being transformed. And one day we will be transformed perfectly into the likeness of Jesus. Do you remember what Paul wrote? Paul wrote to the Romans, and he said this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." And when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said something quite similar. He said, "We all are being transformed into his image." This transformation thing may look more like a sort of gentle curve rather than a hairpin bend. But let's all be nudged round that bend. Let's all live lives that work towards a complete transformation. And I guess we won't actually arrive until we get to glory. But do we want to see lives transformed? Do we want to see lives, even in other people, nudged a little bit? Seeing it at a distance is dead easy. If you want to see a dramatic life changed and read about big spectacular things, all you have to do is go into the Littleton Well, pick up a magazine, buy a book, and you can read about amazing biographies and amazing articles about what God is doing. Sorry, end of commercial. And I guess probably about 40 years ago, in a church a long way from here, we had a monthly magazine, probably two sides of A4 folded like that, maybe two sheets. But on the back page, there was always one of these spectaculars, and you could read about an amazing thing that God was doing, either in Australia or in Africa, or maybe back in the 18th century. And the vicar always put one of these things in, and I read it, and I always wanted to say, yes, but what's God doing here, now, where I am? And I still want to know, what is God doing here and now, with you, with me, with the people we meet day by day? And God is working his purpose out here and now. And I want us all to have that sort of vision, to see a local transformation, or at least a local nudge in the right direction. And so how do we get to see exciting, transformed lives? In that reading from Luke, Jesus quoted Isaiah. And if Jesus thought Isaiah was worth quoting. I thought perhaps it might be worth us looking a little bit at Isaiah as well. Jesus said he'd been sent to preach good news, to heal the sick, to free the captives. And then he sent his followers out to do the same things. And here's the bad news. He doesn't just send the curate and the rector. He sends you and me as well. We are all to be involved. So, prayer's a good start, but as we heard in the Isaiah reading, not all prayer is going to be heard. Why not? Because Isaiah said, you know what you're doing? You're going through the motions. You're following the rituals. You're obeying the basic rules, but your life is inconsistent. Once you get outside of church, you're not doing it. Your life is not consistent. Oh dear. If you want to get God's attention, we need to have our lives being consistent with the rituals and all the rest of it. If you've been coming to the prayer course on Sunday evenings, we've had two sessions, we've got two to go. I think it's been really helpful. I think Peter Myers has done a wonderful job with it, and I would urge you to be back here at 6:30 this evening for part three of four on the prayer course. And tonight Peter will be focusing particularly on the truth of who we are. If you want to know the truth of who you are, you have to be back here at 6:30 and listen to Peter. It will be brilliant, I'm sure. I found the last one really, really encouraging, and we broke up into little groups and we really did listen to what God was saying to the other two people, or for the other two people in our little triplets, and praying for them. And I certainly felt that I was able to hear from God and speak prayers to the two people I was with, and that they were able to pray for me as well, and I just found it all really helpful. So I would urge and encourage you, come back at 6:30. Anyway, there's coffee available, so it'll be worth coming. Now, some of you may be sitting there thinking, it's all very well him saying that, but I'm not very good at going out there and preaching the gospel. Don't worry, neither am I. But what we do need to do, if we want to see lives transformed, is to focus on the things that we can do. And if we look at what we heard in Isaiah 58, the first thing we have to do is fix injustice. And we can all do a bit to it. I know it's a big thing and we can't put the world right, but we can all do something. Yes, you can write to your MP. Yes, you can prayerfully decide which way to vote in elections, though we're probably not going to have another one of those for some time. And yes, you can sign online petitions if there's something where God is saying to you, actually, that's really important, and that's a really good petition, and I want the powers that be to know what I think about it. So we can do those things. We can, if we don't want to do any of that, well, you can perhaps befriend a neighbour or a colleague whom nobody else seems to like. Ask God to show each one of us an injustice that we can do a little bit about this week. And the second thing that Isaiah said was that we had to free the oppressed. There are many ways of being oppressed. You can be bullied at work. You can be abused. But perhaps the most likely oppression that we're going to meet this week is stress. I bet we all know someone who is feeling stressed. Stressed about a family situation. Stressed about a work situation. Stressed about their own lives. And what we can do is listen. What we can do is come alongside. You may think they need more than that, And you may think, yes, well, the more than that is that I will encourage them to go to the Littleton Well and get professional counselling, which we're offering there free. You may think, well, actually, what I can do is donate to the Littleton Well Counselling Service so that we can go on offering it free. End of second commercial. But you get the idea. There is always something we can do. It may be small, but it may be very significant for some individual. And the third thing that Isaiah said we had to do was feed the hungry. Yes, I know there's a food bank box at the back of church, and I know many of you support the food bank end of that commercial as well. But we can show hospitality, we can feed the hungry. But remember that there's more than just a physical hunger. It may be a hunger for company. You may know somebody who is living alone, who would just love to sit down with somebody else for a cup of coffee and a biscuit. You may know somebody who has a spiritual hunger, which is getting a bit deep now, isn't it? But you know the idea. Maybe they're just searching for a meaning in life, an understanding of what their life is all about. And maybe you can sit down with them. Maybe you have already invited someone to join our Alpha group. First meeting was last Wednesday, and praise God, I'm told it went very well. But if somebody, you think, actually, that Alpha course might be just what they need, well, it won't matter if they've missed round one. They can come next Wednesday. If you want to know more, ask. But there is a spiritual hunger out there, and perhaps in some small way we can help to meet it. And the next thing that Isaiah says is that you can offer friendship to the wanderer. Yes, we know that we have some refugees settling in Malvern. You may get information from Malvern Welcomes. You may support it. And we can help the homeless. You may know that the Mags Day Centre will be opening at the Salvation Army in about 9 days' time, and will be open for the homeless. Get it right. Should have brought the notes with me. Tuesday and Friday mornings, I think. And we'll offer them clean clothes and a shower and some food. So yes, we can do all those things to offer friendship to the wanderer. And finally, had difficulty with this one. You can see I was aiming at all Fs. So I've got my fix in justice, free the oppressed, feed the hungry, friendship for the wanderer. And then it said you've got to clothe the naked, and I'm looking for another F. So I thought you could give them flannels. I'm not talking about face cloths, I'm talking about trousers. I did wonder about fur coats for the... not real fur, obviously. And I wondered about fluffy hats. If you can come up with a better word, that's fine. But you get the idea that, yes, and again, there is something that each and every one of us can do. If we've got old clothes that we think, actually, despite the fact that I've changed shape a little bit, they'll fit somebody else. I have this theory that trousers are made so that they shrink round the waist. The leg length seems still to be okay, but the waist seems to have shrunk. Well, if you've got clothes like that, you can take them to a charity shop and help, perhaps, to clothe those who need it. So there are lots of little things that we can do. And who knows, those little things will help us to see that lives are transformed. And then God will say, and here I am. I've heard your prayer. It's the Holy Spirit's job to actually transform the lives. And perhaps our job is just to nudge people into the path of the Holy Spirit in some small way. But it is our job, not just the rector's. We all have a part to play in seeing lives transformed? Do we know the part that we are called to play in seeing lives transformed this week? Let's just reflect, let's just bring that before God. Can I ask you just to think of one situation, one person that you might be able to nudge towards a transformed life, one need that you might be able to meet this week? Lord, as we go our separate ways this week, we ask that we may go in your name. We ask that we may say the things you want us to say, be in the places you want us to be, do the things you want us to do. Give us wisdom simply to nudge someone else quietly and gently towards a transformed life. Help us to see what you are doing and work with you in our community. For Jesus' sake. Amen.